the disciples and the crowds are asking Jesus, how can we have eternal life? What do we need to do to be saved? They ask, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? And Jesus answers, responds, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. He is sealed with the Father. And so all faith and salvation comes through belief in the Word of God, the Son of God, Jesus. This leads us into reflecting on the great saint of today, the monumental church father and doctor, Athanasius of Alexandria. He lived at the turning of the 4th century, the late 200s into the early 300s. He was nicknamed the Black Dwarf. He was very short and dark-skinned. And in fact, for this reason, we can look at him as being one of the great black saints in church history, often not thought of that way, but I think important for us. Really, it's hard to overstate the importance in church history and for our church teaching than to look at St. Athanasius. He rose up during the very prevalent Arian controversy, known as the heresy of Arianism, which subordinated Jesus to the Father, saying that Jesus was kind of somewhere between human and divine, fully human but not quite fully divine. This was the Arian controversy that was embroiling in the beginning of the 4th century, which led to that Council of Nicaea, where we first got to our Nicene Creed. This is one of the historical context for that. And it was actually Athanasius who was the one who coined the now orthodox term homoousios, or consubstantial, one in being with the Father. We can thank St. Athanasius because he studied his Greek philosophy, that he was able to give us this expression, homoousios, consubstantial, as a way of describing Jesus, who is both fully divine and fully human. It was said that in the 4th century Constantinople, that the marketplaces and the street corners and the barbershops all buzzed with discussions and arguments about the Trinity. Wouldn't that be interesting to walk into the Giant down the street and hear people in the checkout line arguing between homoousios or homoiousios, an Arian versus a Orthodox? That, apparently that's what they were doing back then. You can see how our news culture has maybe taken a bit of a dive in the quality of media and what people are talking about. But Athanasius really understood that it was really crucial. That's where we get that phrase, I don't give an iota about that, come right from this discussion. What's the point of arguing over some of these words? And Athanasius understood that sometimes it's very critical, because how we talk about Christ, who he is, communicates how we are to be saved, how Christ saves us. And so it's really a way of unpacking that this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. Well, it matters who the one he sent is. And from all of this, we get to a very simple, beautiful statement that Athanasius offers, and other saints have said something similar. But he put it this way: God became man so that we might become God. God became man so that we might become God. Wonderful quote from Athanasius. You probably didn't hear this in Sunday school. While it's not language that is often used today, or even widely known, that God became like us so that we might become like God. We don't literally become God, but we become like God. This was really the dominant metaphor when the early church fathers described salvation, what it means to be saved. It means to become transformed, to become like God. The early church fathers used this very often in their writings. It goes by other different names. Sometimes we call this participation or union with God or deification, divinization, indwelling, theosis, filiation. It all are big kind of, you know, smarty pants sounding theology words, but this is the way that the early church fathers talked about what it means to be saved in Christ. It means to become like him, the one who has become like us. In other words, what Jesus is by nature, the Son of God, you and I become by grace. That by the sending and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Christ unfolds his very life into ours, that we too might become another Christ. To be a Christian is simply to be another Christ. And so that we might become the church, one body, one spirit in Christ. This kind of language of deification fell into some disuse, especially in the West, the Western theological tradition, except among the more mystical saints really kept this alive. It was always very common in the East, the Eastern Orthodox churches, and it's a good sign that we should bring back this language in how we understand and pass on our faith. And it is coming back, actually. This is also, it's a major theme of the Gospel of John as well, beginning with the incarnation, the eternal word of life, who became like us, and made his dwelling among us, full of grace and truth, and that through faith and baptism, we become reborn as children of God. That word filiation means to become sons and daughters of God by grace. And all of these upcoming readings over these next days of Easter, the Bread of Life discourse is all about this, this deification, which happens primarily, preeminently through our participation in the Eucharist, the food that endures for eternal life. That when we are instructed to eat his flesh and drink his blood, in order that God's divine life may come and dwell within us. We see this playing out already, even in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles today, with Stephen filled with grace and power, working great wonders and signs among the people. And at the end, all those who sat in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face had become like that of an angel. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, becoming like God, filled with God's grace and truth, taking even on the outward appearance of an angel, and so deified and divinized by God's love. God became like us so that we might believe and become like God, to be filled with his grace and power, and to accomplish the works of God.